Welcome back with another episode of the Scenario Podcast. Last few weeks have been great. People have been getting a lot of feedback, man, on all the shows. It's been overwhelming, I would say, at least with all the response from people. How you been doing this week, my brother?
Chilling, man. That's the word.
Man, we all good, man. Before we get into it, we got some great topics today. As you can see from the title of the show, it's going to be real fun. So let's jump into some of these.
For you. Is this going
to be? People have been asking me to really dive into why.
This is going to be one of the great Daryl shows of all time.
This one is from Marissa Swartz. She says, "What's going on, team? Wanted to talk to you all and thank you all for giving me some great insight to how you all discuss things as men, and not from a super chauvinistic but still a manly kind of man way. It was interesting you all were talking about some episodes back, maybe around June, where you all quoted and said that some people just want to be the oppressor. That was one of the greatest things I had heard from a perspective of how life can be. Love you all show. You all do dive a little bit into the sports more than I would want to, but that's fine. I'm down with it. Keep rocking, Marissa."
So, because it's important to understand that most things that I understand in life, at some point I'm going to need to compare to sports so I can understand how severe the situation is. So, like, if we're sitting there and you tell me, like, this is bad, and you'll be like Falcons Super Bowl bad, or like...
NHL lockout for the 90s band.
Yeah, I can make it through one of these things, while the other one is like seeing your girl walk into Thanksgiving dinner with your cousin, and you'd be like, huh?
And it's a cousin you know that she met the cousin through you.
Like she met your cousin at 4th of July and came to Thanksgiving with
him. So he's talking about 6 months.
Yes. That's Super Bowl.
And so keep in mind, y'all had broken up, and they got together between that point where she felt comfortable enough to come with him to the Thanksgiving dinner and vice versa.
That's Jermaine Jackson level bad.
Right. That's 100% Jermaine Jackson.
We'll get to that. But yes, sports, for men, sports eventually comes to some point where, for many men, it gets to a point where you have to describe things that way just to get context on it.
All right. Next up, this one comes from Howard. He says, "Yes, Lord, as the great Anderson .Paak says, glad I found you all's podcast. The last episode with Javon was beyond hilarious. I see where Javon gets his funny from, because his dad was on some, like, nah, Pam Grier is fine type demos. Remind me of my pops hanging out with us. Rest in peace." Oh, man, rest in peace to your dad. How you put RIP in there? So rest in peace to your dad, man.
They caught us a little off guard.
Yeah. Keep in mind, I just see these and I put them in different boxes. I try to read them live to get my full reaction as Matt does, so it won't be like, oh, I prepare with an answer. So
yeah,
I don't
like to know things.
Yeah, I just want to hear it. So, but he says, "Wanted to say you are certified in my book, even though Matt is a Kappa. Shout out to Blue Fi." Wow, this is turning into a whole.
Take shots at me. What's that? I mess with the Sigmas at Mizzou. much love, much respect. Actually, I ran into a white Sigma in Mississippi.
It's a lot of white Sigmas.
Oh yeah, for sure. I ran into a white Sigma in Mississippi, and when I was playing ball down there a couple weeks ago, and he came up to me. He was talking about stuff. He came up to me real familiar, two clubs, spring 15. I was like, oh, hold up, wait. I wasn't expecting this to come from you. Like, let me adjust, and then we.
Did he look like a white Sigma?
He just looked like a white dude. He was from Iowa. He went to one of the schools up there. I can't remember which one it is.
Which school did he go to? Was he our age?
No, nah, he's younger. Spring 15.
Oh, so you said spring 15.
Roughly 12 years younger.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know how a white Sigma looks? Like, he looks like Eminem.
No, he didn't look like that.
That's what I mean. Any white guy in general that joins a Black Friday in general looks like Eminem or like a derivative of Eminem.
I don't know, man. We got a smooth white dude in our chapter. Like, he looked like...
Is a white guy that plays cap at Mizzou?
Yeah, he looks like G-Eazy, actually.
That's the same thing, though. He's the updated Eminem with a little bit longer hair.
He looks like an updated Eminem.
He is! Second sidebar, have you seen Eminem's daughter Haley? She's like 24 now.
She's doing well for herself.
Did you see the picture of her? She looked way better than you would think Haley would be looking.
She's doing well for herself.
Let me go back to Howard's email. Where was he? He said, Blue Five, But stay with you all are doing. I'm laughing all the way. Shout out to everybody in Wisconsin for us, please. Howard. All right, Howard, man. Shout out to Wisconsin, man. I'm assuming you, University of Wisconsin, Marquette. That's why I'm pretty drawn out after that for Wisconsin schools that are pretty big. Marquette, UW, Milwaukee. That's it. I'm pretty tapped out. Unless you got any other Milwaukee schools. Not Milwaukee or Wisconsin schools.
I don't know much, but Whitewater.
Wisconsin Whitewater.
Shout out to my boy D. Stan that went up there.
Yeah, Wisconsin. That's right. He sure did go to Wisconsin.
Right up there, yeah.
I thought he went to Madison.
He went to both.
He transferred Madison and went to Whitewater. Gotcha. Because he's from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Shout out to you, my brother. All right, man. Let's just go into this, man. We've been egging our seats so much for this, we decided not to even talk about it with each other until we got on the mic. Mm-hmm. Do we want to start from Dragon, or do we want to start from like just our initial thoughts on the show?
Well, let's talk about the show. It's important to understand the show first before we go into the reaction to the show.
All right.
So, I mean, you know, so LeBron James's new program came on HBO called The Shop, mm-hmm. which is it's a concept that we've seen before, but it still is a dope way, I think, to kind of present content in the open.
And it's cool seeing LeBron on there. And yeah. He's got like a cast of good people on there.
Yeah. Like, so it's a wild, diverse cast. I mean, like, you know, I think like Draymond Green is there, Odell Beckham Jr., Candace Parker, John Stewart, Snoop Dogg, Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett is there. Yeah.
Maverick Carter.
And you always knew Maverick was super smart, but I respected him on a different level because you only just know him as the background dude.
Yeah.
You said Candace Parker already, right? You said John Stewart.
Yeah.
Vince Staples.
Yeah,
and my boy Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah, Gerard Carmichael. Yeah,
that kind of rounded out that probably pretty much kind of rounded out everybody.
Yeah, that's everybody.
Yeah, and Odell too. You said Odell. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I liked it because it like everybody gets some shine. Like, you ever seen like them cast the shows where they got a whole bunch of different celebrities on there, but nobody gets to talk? It's only one or two people barely got to talk, but they just kind of there.
Yeah.
This one, everybody got to really. It was great editing or great directing to be able to make sure that everyone got a piece of saying something.
Yeah, and I think that what's going to happen is like with new episodes that come along, there will be, you know, more people that that pop up. So they have bigger, not different people, but people have bigger roles in future conversations.
Right.
You know? So at least I'm pretty sure it's not a one off.
No. It's a series.
Yeah. So.
And I think to me, like, and this is one of the things I know. Shout out to Bill Simmons. He always talks about how he thinks that LeBron wouldn't be as vulnerable or open on this show. But I also be like, but how vulnerable do you want him to be, though? Like, well, I mean, like, how much do you want him to be vulnerable, though?
So, like, I think that the thing that Simmons is saying about LeBron, which is kind of fair, is that, like LeBron has kind of protected his image some, you know what I mean?
But what superstar hasn't?
Well, I mean, but in this day and age, you have, like, Kevin Durant kind of saying whatever he feels in his mindset and giving that access. LeBron doesn't give that access. Like, LeBron does the post-game stuff, and he does stuff on Instagram and things like that where you get to see his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But he does make statements, more political statements, you know, that I think we're accustomed to seeing superstars at his level make. But you don't really get a chance to know, all right, so is this really what LeBron, what is LeBron interested in besides basketball, you know, besides that? And you get a chance to see that, and he's kind of giving that insight into it. You know, I know way more about LeBron James than I know about Magic Johnson. I'm not even going to say Michael Jordan, because I mean, I think it's easy to make that parallel to Michael Jordan when you talk about LeBron. But I think I know more about the person that LeBron James is than any athlete from Derek Jeter, Magic Johnson, Dr. J.
Well, we know a little bit about Isaiah Thomas through court cases, but but that's not because we know who Isaiah Thomas is.
Right. So I mean, but I'm talking about just like what motivates them. Like, you know, LeBron was talking about how watching his kids play basketball, like, energized him for basketball, mm-hmm. like, what it means for him to stay being involved in that. So, I mean, you know, there was a lot of dope topics and dope approaches that came in the show. And so I think that's kind of what Bill Simmons was kind of, you know, alluding to. And Bill's not knocking LeBron.
No. But he was just saying before the show came out, he was wondering how much LeBron is really going to reveal or talk about. It was a lot more to me. I was surprised LeBron was dropping the nigga word, like, saying nigga. I was surprised at that.
I think that when I saw the form that they was going to do the show on, not like a TNT.
I was so surprised. It was uncomfortable for me to watch him saying it.
Really?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because I didn't expect it. Maybe I'm, and after a while, I got cool with it. But yeah. Initially, I'm like, whoa, LeBron is dropping the N-bomb? Shit.
Yeah, so So, like, here's the thing for me. When I saw the form, you know, because the shop is a takeoff of the barbershop. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, it's a show that takes place in the setting of a legitimate barbershop there. Where they brought in, you know, different stars and stuff to talk about their, you know, their approach to what it means right now. And when I see that form, it's all no holds barred to me. Like, if there's any place, like, in the world that I've ever been to where everything's on the table, it's the barbershop. Like, no, there's no point in life where I feel like you can get a better feel for who somebody is in a barbershop setting than anywhere else. And we talked about this a few episodes back, if you want to go into the archives.
With Rich.
Yeah, when we had Rich on there, I was just literally at the barbershop like 2 hours ago talking about the show. And, like, you know, there's nobody in there. Well, you know, today it's a Thursday morning, you know, there's nobody there. But, you know, I mean, it's like on a Saturday afternoon, you're going to hear about everything that happened in the week. Mm-hmm. There was stuff that's coming up, everything in the barbershop. So when LeBron is just, you know, being who he really is, and let's be real. I mean, yeah, he's rich. He's a different level of successful than I think a lot of people will ever be able to realize. But, you know, he's a 33-year-old black dude. You know what I'm saying?
And he came from more realizing. I realized how broke LeBron was. I knew he was broke.
Broke.
But I'm saying, you know, but when you – and it wasn't even – LeBron saying it was Maverick when it was. Did you see the last part of the credits when he was like, "Yo, I remember when LeBron first came to school, like 5'10", and his coat was fitting fine." And he said by like the spring or something, he was 6'3", 6'4", but he didn't get a new coat.
Right.
So he had to keep his arms down. I'm like, "Yo."
Like, that's real though. Like that's how it is.
Yeah, that's a different level.
So,
man.
But you know, the thing about it is that so I like the different range of topics they had in there. Yeah. I mean, you know, some of it is stuff where. You know, we're in an era right now where people want access to stars, you know, where people want to really get a chance to know who superstars are. And, I mean, and this is really a good opportunity to see that, you know, I mean, and it's so many dynamic personalities in one room, you know, that everybody can't, you know, get that big time to shine in one episode. But that's kind of what I mean by saying I think that other people have bigger platforms in different episodes. You know?
Like, I mean, I'm one person I do want to hear from more, hopefully they keep her on there more, is Candace Park.
Yeah. I think she did a good job in this one.
Great job
kind
to
of
me.
Speaking to.
I want to hear a lot more. I wonder her first. And she probably would never commented on Fool. But I want to like, how was it being with the Slumlord? You know, being with the Slumlord. So no, okay. So everybody's nobody didn't say. I know I listened.
Like,
who was the Slumlord?
We talked about it.
The Slumlord is her ex-husband, Sheldon Williams, and I'm not trashing him as individual. It's the fact that he was a lottery pick for the Atlanta Hawks. And just stayed in the lane collecting checks.
Mm-hmm.
We called it a slumlord.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing just enough to keep the apartment up the cold. He was doing just enough to stay in the lead to keep his contract.
Mm-hmm.
A slumlord. How was that being with the slumlord? And knowing that you're a better athlete than your husband. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, she, you know, but she talked about the struggles of, you know, what it means
to be
a mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that. And,
but the only messed up part is, you know, the slumlords got full custody of their kid.
Yeah, that's wild.
I was sitting there, I was like, ooh, is she going to say something about it? Because the slumlord's got, and the slumlord gets, what is it? The slumlord gets checks from her, gets child support,
yeah.
Child support.
Yeah.
I wanted to flip and be like, I wanted somebody
what's
to be like, who's going to be the one to open it up, though? Like,
no,
who do we need to come in there that'll open a child support talk where Candace Parker could jump in on.
Draymond would do it.
Draymond ain't got no kids, though.
But Draymond bring the topic up.
Oh, you said Draymond. I was saying you bring somebody else in, like, I'm trying to think of somebody, Blake Griffin in. And they do it in L.A., and he got a crib out there, bring in Blake Griffin.
I mean,
what if Blake Griffin walked through the door next episode? I'll throw my remote to my TV.
I mean, Eddie Murphy could bring it up.
But Eddie Murphy take care of all his kids, though. And his kids are different ages.
Yeah.
He's strategic.
Wait, are you looking for a deadbeat to bring it up?
No, I want somebody that's getting hit for them checks that's kind of going through it.
Oh, well,
like child support.
There's somebody in that room that's paying for some kids at some point.
No, I know. I was thinking about this in the ride over. Ain't none of them got a situation like that. Who? Are you saying it's off the books?
Yes.
Oh.
Let's take it easy.
Okay.
There ain't a room full of that many successful people that ain't got some dirt underneath their carpet.
That's different than dirt than child support.
Boy, it feels like it. It's court-sanctioned dirt. That's child support.
So you said it's somebody...
Shout out to everybody that's getting it, and shout out to everybody that's paying it. I feel the pain on both sides.
Who's the most likely culprit that's got on the low child support?
LeBron. Or Maverick.
I was going to say, well, this probably is Maverick. Maverick's probably the best candidate because nobody would know. Who's going to, like, who this, but if it was like Odell Beckham Jr., it'd be all, like, it's no way possible.
I mean,
people.
Nope.
No, because I'm think they're so popular. Even with LeBron, to a certain extent, people, unless it's,
I don't think LeBron's got any.
No. LeBron has been squeaky clean as far as I know. Allegedly.
Okay, so here's the thing. I need to believe in LeBron.
Yes. Like, he's the last
important.
One of the last ones left.
Yes, it's important, like, on different levels, like how kids have, like, people they look up to. Like, I need to believe in LeBron as
just as a grown-ass man.
Because he's a guy that you can always point to and be like, we doing good.
Look,
like,
it's so bad. If
LeBron
was in the strip club, I would be like, dude, go home.
Well, okay, top five people who we need their image to hold up right now.
O.J. Simpson.
See?
Jermaine Jackson, number two.
No.
We'll talk about that later.
Completely the wrong people.
But I need them to stay where they are. Like,
no, top five people whose images we
need
to hold up. Yeah.
Magic Johnson is another one, too, I think. He can't slip up again either.
Magic got the pack outside the relationship.
But Magic got to go home, too.
I'm talking about people I don't have any dirt on that need to stay that way. So, LeBron, Russell Wilson.
I don't need it, though. I don't need that.
T'Challa.
If anything, Russell Wilson would get probably more respect in the streets if he did have some.
I don't need him to have respect in the streets. I don't want Russell Wilson to have respect in the streets. If you don't watch Sierra Twerk videos and have respect for Russell Wilson in the streets, something's wrong with you,
that's
not
real
Russ.
Talk. That's real talk.
Not Russ.
That's real.
I need Derek Jeter to stay the Sterling Knight of the evenings. So, all right. So far, I got four. I got T'Challa.
Only way he can get out of it is if he get a black woman.
I got T'Challa.
That's the only way he can.
He needs to keep the woman he has.
Oh, no. But I'm saying if he did do something crazy with a black woman, it could be all a
watch.
He did
something crazy with black women all throughout the night.
I know.
What do you
with
mean?
With the gift baskets, right?
Yeah, I mean,
no, I'm talking about if he cheated on his wife with a black woman.
Not
you'd
Miami.
Be surprised.
That would be in Miami. You probably should go the other way in Miami.
Like in because he's on the Florida Marlins, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Good point.
Anyway. Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
LeBron James, T'Challa, Derek Jeter. I need one more. Now, I'm not talking about Chadwick Boseman either. I'm talking about
actually
T'Challa.
T'Challa.
Yeah. One more. I need a musician.
That's what I was trying to think now.
Somebody in music.
Musician's
that I can
pretty
believe.
Bad, man. Bruno
yeah.
Mars?
No. Bruno Mars will snort a whole bass line up. he could get the first base quicker than Vince Coleman.
Oh, Sade. Like, I don't want, like, anything coming out crazy about Sade.
No, I don't want a woman. I'm not looking up to women like that. Like, I admire women, but they're not, like, my role model.
Gotcha.
Like that.
I
need one more guy. Oh, Obama. Obama has to.
Oh, he's number one. He's number one.
Yeah, I mean, like, he has to remain beyond reproach. He's so far number one. That, like,
Will Smith.
I thought about. You know what? But Will Smith and Jada have sanctioned ratchetness, though. So it's like Will Smith really can't.
Go wrong.
Like, the only thing that can ruin Will Smith would be, like, a Me Too type thing.
Like, where he's just going out bawling crazy.
Like, he's out here messing with, like 15-year-olds. Like,
yeah.
That's the only thing they can
or
go
like, groping a woman in an elevator randomly.
Exactly. Like, going full Ray Rice or something crazy like that. Like, that's... But, like, as far as ratchetness, Will Smith has a green light
Denzel?
For ratchetness. Yeah, I guess Denzel's in there. I don't know. I mean, you know... I mean,
was you going back to the rumors of him as Annihilation?
I would expect Denzel to have kicked it.
Okay.
Denzel's been famous for a long-ass time.
Like he's been
putting
it through a lot.
He's been famous longer than any of those people that we just named on that top five list.
He's up there as famous as long as Jordan and Burton on him, because you got to remember his first movies is in the early 80s, too.
Exactly. So, like...
You asking him for a lot.
Yeah. Like, come on.
You asking for a lot.
Like, the only person I would just start screaming, like...
You know what's crazy is? 5 years ago, let's say 10 years ago, we probably would have said Bill Cosby.
Probably, yeah. So anything's in play. I mean, we talked about it before.
Yeah.
The Teflon Don.
Yeah, the Teflon Don.
But, you know, anyway, getting back to the show.
Yeah.
But, like, so let's play.
I want to play something.
I want to play something real quick because Fox Sports, Jason Whitlock had a reaction to LeBron on
the show.
That
was totally different than
that
what we
was
thought.
Much different than what we were talking.
LeBron James made a complete, utter fool of himself last night with his new HBO TV show, The Shop. A year ago, while guest hosting The Herd, I upset LeBron fans by analogizing the basketball star to Donald Trump. I explained how athletic privilege works just the same as wealth privilege. Last night, during the debut of The Shop, LeBron proved me prophetic with a profane, primitive, and privileged look inside his fantasy shop, which is best described as the Black Billionaire Barbershop. LeBron's shop is what Donald Trump must imagine a Black barbershop is like. Everyone is cursing and dropping the N-word, and there's a token white liberal soaking it all in, feeling like the coolest person in the room because Black people are comfortable being ignorant in front of him. Twitter absolutely loves seeing LeBron this ratchet and ghetto. But I can't just blame Twitter. Timothy Bella of the Washington Post wrote a fawning review of LeBron, Maverick Carter, John Stewart and company, channeling their inner Donald Trump. Here's what Twitter, the Washington Post, and even LeBron James all miss. The shop is fake news. My dad owned a barbershop in an all-Black community in Indianapolis. It was called the Knot Hole. When my dad went into the bar business, he took us to Leon's barbershop in the all-Black community right down the street from his bar. When I moved to Kansas City, I got my hair cut weekly at the Artisan Barbershop in an all-Black neighborhood. When I moved here to Los Angeles, I used to get my hair cut at an all-Black shop called Legends. In all my years of frequenting Black barbershops, I've never seen Black men sipping goblets of red wine. Lord is my witness, they were holding goblets filled with Cabernet. But that wasn't even the worst thing. I've never seen a token white dude, especially one who didn't grow up in the neighborhood, dominating and driving the conversation inside a Black barbershop. John Stewart from The Old Daily Show was the star of this show. Was Trevor Noah unavailable? Arsenio? What Black barbershop has no disagreement? LeBron retold his Brentwood spray paint story, and no one offered a hint of cynicism. Hey, man, how come you ain't moved? That's what would have happened in my barbershop. Look, I'm as verbally raw as they come, depending on the setting. But I've never experienced that level of profanity and ignorance inside a barbershop. There's always an old head who shuts it all down. 75 times someone cursed. 11 times someone dropped the N-word. Well, what barbershop is this? LeBron's shop was a collection of elite Black millionaires who are so far removed from reality that they think the Black barbershop is a minstrel show with a white choreographer. In the middle of this minstrel show, John Stewart had the audacity to compare LeBron James to Muhammad Ali. Are you kidding me? Ali stood on religious principle. LeBron James is standing on Twitter. I had very high aspirations for LeBron James, but he has been completely turned out by fame and pop culture. He's 34 years old and allegedly wants to be a social activist, an educator, and a role model. This is how you portray yourself? You start a TV show and you instantly become Black Trump? LeBron, you're lost, you're confused, you're hypocritical, you're fired.
Yeah, Jason.
So here's the thing. I'm gonna let that set in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with that. What Black barbershops is he going to?
I don't even know.
There's an old head that shuts it down? Are you kidding me? If there's any place on earth where people are on equal footing, it's the barbershop. I feel like Jason Whitlock was going to them Black barbershops out on the edge of the county. Not where you got people coming in selling t-shirts or somebody to go get you a PlayStation if you hang around for another 45 minutes.
Right.
You know,
right,
when people, where your one barber going in and out every 10, 20 minutes because he got to go sell some weed outside.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, you can't do it out the so shop, but you can go out and do it
in
the parking lot.
Yeah. Easy to do in the parking lot.
You know, but in the barbershop, everything's in play. There is no... Are you kidding me? A minstrel show? What about what LeBron James did on this show? And if you haven't seen this, please go check it out. If it's on
still
HBO.
Half an hour, join it. Ain't gonna take
all your day. Yeah, I mean, yeah, just under a half hour. You know what I'm saying? It's on HBO Go, HBO Now. You can catch it out there if you're a
fire
sticker. I'm sure
you can trap it out the bandwidth if you have to. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, you go out there and there's no minstrel anything about that. And to say it's a Black billionaires club, like, sure, he brought people. He wasn't gonna just have... a geek off the street in there.
Then it was
what's the allure of that?
Yeah, and like you want you, the purpose of the show is getting insight from people that you normally wouldn't hear talking.
Right, and I mean, and the thing, you know, like let's go into like what Odell Beckham Jr. was talking about, where they was talking about the trappings of fame, you know, and like, yo, is this how things are?
Even though Odell covets fame though, like he,
yeah,
he
yeah.
kind of, it was kind of back, like I get what he was coming from with that, but he kind of welcomes that kind of attention though too.
Well, I think that, you know, you look at LeBron and you look at Odell, they're both from different generations in a way. Like LeBron's generation is older now, whereas Odell has, you know, been in the league for 4 years.
And Odell's been privileged too. His daddy been in his life the whole time, grew up, his dad was in the NFL. His dad was taking, was his dad, I think his dad either played against the team in Odessa that was in Friday Night Lights, or he was on that team.
I forgot which one it is.
He's from Odessa. His dad is like, his dad is, has something to do. He's mentioning Friday Night Lights.
So, but either way, Odell's of the newest era of superstar athletes.
Yes.
You know, so you see different insights from a guy that's been in the game for 16 years now with LeBron, to a guy that, like Draymond, who's kind of in the middle of his career, to somebody like Michael Bennett, who's done. You know, who, I mean, like these guys, no, Michael Bennett's still playing. His brother. His brother is the one that retired.
Martellus retires.
So, I mean,
but Michael Bennett's towards the end though now. Like
Martellus is
like 34. He's like, he's only a year or two younger
than
him.
On the Eagles now. So
yeah, I'm saying, but I mean, he probably only got 2 years left.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, you know, a guy that's on the, it's closer to LeBron's spectrum of his career. But you know, so you get to see like what it means, what fame means at different ages and stuff. And obviously, I mean, Odell's personality is different than LeBron's was at any point, you know, but I mean, to hear that. But it's not a minstrel show though. I mean, it's just people talking about their reality and the things they deal with. And while, yeah, I mean, the trappings of fame might not be something that everybody can relate to, the struggle to try to balance your life with everything that goes on in it is something that everybody absolutely can. You know, we struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Our friends struggle with that. Our parents struggle with that. I mean, the balance of what you have to do in life is there. So you have a room full of black people and Jon Stewart, who in a way wasn't the star of the show. If anything, he kind of was a moderator of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Maverick were kind of moderators of introducing
that's
topics.
That's a great way to look at perspective.
Which is
Jon
important.
Stewart. Yeah.
But you know what? The thing about it is, I'm glad there's somebody else. There were different types of people in the room where you had the truest of OGs and Snoop Dogg there to talk about how the game been since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Stewart, who has had a phenomenal amount of success, to ask questions that maybe the next black person wouldn't think to ask the next black person.
And that some white people wouldn't even think about or would be scared to ask to a certain extent too. And I did like the one of the aspects of it. Besides Jason Moonlock, fuck Jason Moonlock in general.
I mean, we can do that too, right?
Yeah, like fuck him for real.
Like, if anybody's not in a position to talk about what it means to keep things authentic and real, Jason Whitlock has sold his soul three times over. He sold it to ESPN once, they took it back, and then he sold it to Fox. Of all places, I mean, he sells it to Fox Sports, which is a subsidiary of Fox Entertainment, and then you take it from wherever you want to take it.
Is Disney going on the Fox Sports part?
No. They're just
so Fox Sports is going to be its own entity now.
Well, they're not selling that part of it.
Right, but I'm saying, but it's going to be different than Fox News, though. It's going to be a different entity.
They always have been different, though. Because,
okay.
I mean, I worked for Fox until last year.
Right,
so,
okay.
I mean, Fox Sports had Fox News had no oversight
on
Fox Sports.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, I mean, they're in the business of putting those sensational characters in play. That's what they do. It's kind of similar. It's a similar approach to what happens on the news side. It's just that, you know, they put those type of Jason Whitlock, Colin Cowherd, you know, Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharpe, those type of people in there. Now, Shannon Sharpe has his own soul.
Mm-mm.
You know, he's definitely playing up himself some. But, I mean, what Jason Whitlock does is every chance he gets, he knocks the next brother. So why should we see what LeBron's doing right now? And a guy that shares a microphone with Skip Bayless at different times, you know, they can just have a pants-off orgy over knocking LeBron.
If I was LeBron, I'd invite Jason Whitlock on my next episode of the show.
Invite him to a barbershop.
With Snoop in there. Like, I'm talking about just all the din that I have, like Triple X and Tacion. I just make it super, and just leave. Like, it'd be like a battle royale with like all these young rappers. Not even Snoop in there. I'm talking about all the young rappers. And Jason Whitlock in one room and I'll lock the door.
To me, those comments are so incredibly out of touch with what that part of community society is and what it means.
Like, right. the goblet thing, the whole point was, like, Pete Cass just having some drinks hanging out there in the thing, in the barbershop.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to a barbershop with somebody drinking wine either.
But I've heard of some that are like that. There are black barbershops where you can get drinks. There's women beauty salons you can get champagne at.
Well, yeah.
And wine. And they in the hood.
Yeah,
what's the first thing they got to do?
It's fine, a cheap shot to take.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is like, We were sitting there.
My Draymond was drunk on the low.
We were sitting there. He also had that super crispy edge.
No, he did. He did. But he was drunk, though, I think, too. That's cool. I know, but it was just funny because he was slurring his words. So I was like, how long has Draymond been drinking that wine for?
But so my thing about it is, my big thing about that is, though, is I look at that and I say, yo, man, you're going out of your way to criticize something and try to correct it. And you say it's fake news. Like, is there anything you could possibly do to bleach out your blackness anymore than take this productive conversation and then tag it with Donald Trump, with Donald Trump's tagline?
He don't care, man.
He's out of business.
He don't give a fuck,
man. He's out of business, man. Like, he's out the circle. Jason Whitlock, send him north of the wall with OJ, the Knights King, and Omarosa.
Can we move? Is there an opening on the Thanos fuckery gauntlet? What about his minions?
He'll just be one of the sons of Thanos.
Yeah, they're saying the sons of the children of Thanos.
Yeah, children of Thanos.
Yeah. Jason Whitlock, you have
children
got
children of Ojanos.
Ojanos.
Yeah.
So now we have got one person as the children of Ojanos.
Yeah.
We have got a slot now. Jason Whitlock, you are there.
Yeah. Before we turn the page on this, though, too, how do you feel about Tiger Woods this week? Did you get a chance to peep that?
No, I didn't get
peep. So Tiger Woods playing golf with Donald Trump again. And, you know, and he says that, we got to respect the office. I'm like, okay.
I mean, I don't expect nothing different from Tiger.
I mean, but...
his daddy's dead, too, though.
But the thing I'm going to say, here's the thing, reason why I bring that up, though, is like, I think Tiger Woods might be the most falsely glorified, quote-unquote, black man of all time.
100%.
Like,
even more than OJ.
Like, when the PGA Championship was here in St. Louis last month.
Cass was
cheering earlier this month. Cass was out there following him around like Moses. Was coming through the desert. Like, he got them up out of Egypt.
We talked about that before, though. Like, I have no purpose in being at a golfing event walking with you, unless I'm in some VIP area drinking and eating.
Yeah, it's nothing to do. But, I mean, you got all these people out here, Tiger here, for the brothers. Tiger don't give a shit about you or nothing, and couldn't less relate to your life than anybody else that you've ever met.
He ain't slept with a black woman since Tyra Banks either.
Yeah.
And that was in 97.
He might have maybe accidentally done it with the fair-skinned one,
and he didn't know. Realize.
And then he wakes up the next morning, like, oh, what did I do?
Can't believe this. I was drunk and I slept with a black woman. This is unbelievable. Can you leave now?
He one of them dudes that deceives people by throwing money and stuff, and they think Tiger might be down with it, but then you see him in real life, and he ain't got anything.
They said he's super cheap.
I believe it.
That's what the one woman that was messing with said, that only thing he ever got for was Subway.
Mm-hmm.
And she fucked on it for months.
Sounds about right.
All right, man. Kanye and his Sorry Tour, man. He makes a stop back in Chicago. First time being interviewed in Chicago in, like, I think almost damn near 10 years.
Seems about right.
He says he's sorry for the slavery comments. He thinks that we need to give Trump a chance and that he is kind of like Harriet Tubman trying to deliver niggas. Those are the cliff notes, real quick. It's an hour interview. I'm just trying to help y'all out.
I probably couldn't spend an hour listening to Kanye West do anything at this point.
It's tainted his music, man. I mean, man, we got to do a BKT before Kanye and Trump. You know what I'm saying? And then...
like, we got to divide the history of time?
Yeah, man.
Damn. Before Kanye and Trump or before, like...
Before Kanye got with Trump, like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, before Kanye and Trump, that whole...
Did Trump step into that gap, like, when his mom's passed? Or when did this whole thing happen?
No, this happened around the time of the last album.
Kanye's been swung around, like, more by outside forces than any other rapper I can ever remember in my life.
I've heard that, too, though, from people I know I talked to you about off the air, but I heard that, too.
Yeah, like, you know, between anybody, I mean...
He's influenced by a lot of motherfuckers that don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's just keep it real, like...
Oh, well, let's keep it 100%.
Yeah, like, everybody else, if you look at most other people, they got people that's been around them since the beginning. It seemed like everybody that's been down with Kanye from the beginning ain't there, though. Starting with his ex-girlfriend that was the Delta that he talked about on Through the Wire. It started from there.
What happened to her?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It started from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the thing
he
I want
to... He fired his homeboy, the white dude that was his manager for all them years that he had been fucking with. I forgot his name. Was it Scooter McGavin or whatever?
Yeah.
Fired him recently. I don't think he messed with the dude Hip Hop he talked about all the time, the dude that helped him get on.
I guarantee you.
Rhyme Fest ain't around. Consequence ain't around. Common don't even fuck with him.
Does he still know Lupe Fiasco?
Lupe Fiasco ain't been fucking with him in a grip. Nobody. Kim has been probably the longest person in his life.
I mean, he's been the textbook for getting kidnapped by the Get Out crew.
Yo. They are circling him. You ever seen the movie Drop Squad?
No.
Everybody check that out. It's executive produced by Spike Lee. It's basically about this company that will actually drop squad, like pick up the person that you think is a sellout and try to recondition them. No, they really do not as much as a Nazi like reconditioning, but like it's not a Stockholm situation either, but they basically try to retool you and they give you these different messages, they yelling at you, they doing different stuff to you to try to get you to realize what you're doing is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
He need a real life job squad, man. Ving Rhames was in it too, actually. So if y'all want to see, Ving Rhames is one of the stars of that.
Shout out to Ving Rhames.
And the main star is
Courtney Thorne Smith from Melrose Place?
No. The dude that, I can't remember his name now, Von D. Curtis, if you know what Von D. Curtis is. He directed Gridlock. He was
Gridlock, I ain't thought about that.
And I'm going to give you even crazy.
Is what that on Netflix?
He played, two on season one of Daredevil. The reporter dude that got killed.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about.
That's who.
The dude from Sugar Hill.
Yep. No, that's not from Sugar Hill.
He was in Sugar Hill.
Yes, he was, but he was had a side role. He wasn't one of the main people in Sugar Hill. And he also was the dude that came to see Akeem, though, that was in the dude selling the concession.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. But that's who is the star, him and Ving Rhames, and I forgot the woman that stars in that.
I will treasure this day for the rest of my life.
What you doing? What's going on here? Oh, this man, I'm in the bathroom. One of the most quotable movies of all time, man. We have to do that at some point, too, though. The most quotable black movies of all time.
Okay.
Next up, U.S. swimmer and his dog sitter. Yo, this shit was wild. So, basically, this U.S. swimmer comes home. He did an app for a dog sitting. Now, I was confused a little bit with this. Did he go out of town or something? Like, and it was like you like have like a basically a nanny, but just for your dog? Or was he just gone for like half a day and wanted somebody to look after his dog? That didn't explain that for real, though. He said, I came back home.
Yeah, it says the former Olympic swimmer and two-time gold medalist, Cleet Keller, used the app WAG to find a dog sitter. Very much regretted it when he came home to find two shirtless men on his couch with personal lubricant
and a camera. Now, people, I know where y'all going, though. It continues. It continues. To find the dog walker in the shower. She's in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a shower. And keep on top of that, there's bodily fluids all over his couch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a porno shot here in his crib, obviously. Now, did they play him basically like, yo, I know a way we can do this shoot real quick and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Wag. He say he ain't going to be home till 8 o'clock. We got time.
Meanwhile, his dog Jimbo was locked in a room sitting in his own piss.
Fuck that dog. That's what they said. Fuck that dog. Go with your ass up in here.
So they found a way to go in and do this. See, this is why I don't be having people up in my crib.
Yep. And like, is somebody random that just the dog sit?
Like, no way. No way.
Take him to the kennel. Fuck it.
Like, no way. There's no way I'm, like, doing that. Like, that's why I can't have a dog. Because I don't have enough time to give myself, let alone to a dog. You know? But here's the thing, though. Bodily fluids?
Oh, and you know what it is.
On your couch?
And did you see her excuse? Like, what she said back?
No.
Oh, that's the greatest part. It's the no answer. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I don't know if she was like high or drunk. So this is her statement back. To be completely honest, I didn't have WD-40 and my keys were stuck in my car. So I ended up grabbing what I had in my car for things that, you know, I do on my personal time. And I didn't think to put it back in my car, said the woman.
Could you answer the question, please, man?
Exactly.
This turns into one of them times where you like watching C-SPAN and they got somebody sitting there and they sweating, looking like Key and Peele.
I would like to apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information and I had guests over when I shouldn't have, said the sitter. What did you misinterpret?
Why are you in my shower if you're just watching out my dog?
Exactly, dude. Why is there a camera set up? Absolutely. And two dudes and juices.
So I'm going to be very honest. At first, I was very concerned that they brought two people over for the dog.
Oh, you went the bestiality route. You was like, oh no, don't do this to the dog. Not the damn dog.
I was like, this is more serious than I think we're making it out to be.
Now, that'd have been crazy, though, if they would try to make sure, like, a little bestiality thing, though. Like, the dog was a part of the show, though, too.
I think it's safe to say anytime bestiality is in play, it's kind of crazy. Things have gotten out of hand.
No, I'm saying it can be even worse, though, that he's a part of the train. Yeah. Like, it's 3-on-1.
Yeah.
And the dog is one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And he going first.
Yeah, everything's wrong with any type of scenario here.
Have you ever seen bestiality before?
No, well, I hope not.
Okay, I have.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man. On accident.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect you to say I went out.
No. It was one of my homeboys was trying to be funny, put it on in college or whatever, and we playing.
And the feds came in. Like, what are you watching?
No, bestiality's not illegal.
Well, it should be.
It depends on your state.
The moral police should come and get you.
So
the people that vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame should be able to lock you up.
That's true. So we playing NCAA football 2001 on the couch.
One of the greatest games.
Yeah, one of the greatest. So you know that we was intensely into it. We not even tripping off of, you know, it's a big open room. Somebody could be on the computer. We in it like, oh shit, I got you, you know. And he like, hey yo, peep this shit. So and we just everybody turn. And it's a chick sucking off a horse. And we like, yo, man, come on, man. Everybody, we pause in the game. We like, man, we might have to restart this, man. We was in the fourth quarter. We was like, I don't even feel in the right place. You just want to reconvene like tomorrow and play tomorrow. I'm up by 2. So I don't even care.
That's one of them type of things where you need some time to yourself. Like, I don't need any parts of this.
And then one of my other homeboys said, this same homeboy has some issues though, man. We had to excommunicate him from the crew at a point, cause he also was similar situation, but we was in the off campus apartments at that time, and he was like, "Hey yo, peep this," and it was a dog.
Even this imitation voice of him is sketchy.
I like that's how he talks. "Hey yo, peep this," and it was a chick getting fucked by a dog, like a lassie.
Where's he from?
Minneapolis. Hmm.
I don't have anything bad to say about the people of Minneapolis.
Minneapolis is good.
I've
enjoyed my time in Minneapolis.
He's not a shining representation of the city staff.
And the Minneapolis people are probably like, nah, cuz he ain't from the north side. He ain't from North Minneapolis, I'll tell you that.
He ain't from Paisley Park.
He wasn't from North Minneapolis where all the black people live. He was from another area that I won't mention because then people that went to school with me
would know who you're talking about.
That would 100% know who we're talking about.
I'm gonna out some stuff from school on the homecoming episode of Scenario.
Should we take it on the road and go to your homecoming?
I'll be at homecoming at 6 o'clock in the morning barbecuing.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, come on.
We can do a live one. We got the equipment. We can do a live joint.
Last time we tried to do a live show was at your wedding and it didn't go so well.
That's true. We did our live show that we did recently. The last iteration of the live show was good.
It was okay.
Some of the one we had
it wasn't our best.
No, but I'm saying it was better than the live wedding edition.
Oh well, yes. This is once again. This is like comparing the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl to the 2004 National League Championship Series.
For the Cardinals.
Yes.
When they yeah. All right. Next up. Lauryn Hill responds to Robert Glasper, who we talked about 2 weeks ago, that aired out Lauryn Hill. Basically, she says that nobody wrote it. But I also was able to see the people that I need to put in the right places. It's a long letter. And she basically says, like, I'm late to my shows because I'm going through things and I'm trying to be creative, basically.
That's another example of not addressing the issue that we talked
about. So that means some these people wrote your shit then and you didn't give them credit, basically.
Yeah, so let's just get back
100%.
Let's get back to what we really talked about.
She said that I orchestrated, I didn't, nobody wrote, but I did have people, put people in the right positions that make my thing better. Yeah, we all do that. No. Because, you know, she got sued for this. She got sued for the Miseducation album and got and lost.
Well, I believe it. Which turned 20 earlier this week.
Crazy shit. There's somebody that was born right now for the turn 21 that was born the year of the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. That's going to turn 21.
Came out my freshman year of high school.
My junior year of high school, then. All right. Next up, this Madden shooting, man, down in Florida, man. I mean,
Listen, I've been a part of some pretty heated situations when it's come to video games in my time. It's never gotten to a point where somebody needed to die over
it, though. No, I've gotten a roommate out, if anybody, especially since mentioning my school, Operation Snowmelt, where we had to evict somebody out of our student campus apartment because the school placed them in there, and we didn't want them out no more, and we tried to get this person out multiple times, but Lord,
did y'all play a do-or-die game of Madden to get him out?
No, we gave up. This happened by happenstance. Shout out to one of my homeboys who is now...
Is your homeboy's name Happenstance?
No.
Okay.
He's now a state rep in the state of Illinois now, but he was he had got into a fight with him over NCAA football 2002, the sequel of that game.
That's
it was
a good game, too.
Dude, they had a run, though, for a minute.
There's no series of games that's been stolen from me that hurts me more than NCAA.
Dude, but I can't get mad at it.
I should be playing it right now. Dude, it should be a fresh edition that came out right now.
That was the reason I kept getting every system, because of that game.
Yeah.
I'm stuck at a PS3 right now because they haven't gotten NCAA football hasn't come out on a PS4 yet. But they was playing UCLA versus Nebraska. It got real heated. Somebody claimed somebody was looking at somebody else's plays. I was on the phone with a girl. And every time I came back in the room to check and see what was going on, it hit another article of his shirt came off because that's when he gets hot, when he gets mad. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, he's got him thrusted up against the wall. Next thing I know, he says he wants to move out.
Don't say thrusted.
Oh no, grab by his neck up against the wall. I was trying to keep it PC because his brother in the politics now, but now you you want to make sure that nobody else took him to another place, which
I
is
did.
True.
Considering what we just talked about, I just want
very
to
true. Very true. Very true.
Yeah, cover our bases.
But Lauryn Hill, man, yo, I mean, at this point, there's no reason to be sitting there. Like, it was a dope album. It's a classic album. It's one of the, I would say it's one of the most albums that directed a whole decade is that album.
Oh,
if
you're
talking about the 90s albums, it's top 10 in the decade of all albums.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
But at the same time, she's rolled this one album.
Nobody.
Longer, nobody ever in history of music. But that's how much this album meant to people. You could say that on the side, though, giving her some credence in how dope the album is that no one else has come up with an album like that. But also, I think it's the hope that people want to just see her.
I mean, Lauryn Hill has gotten by more on things that happened 20, you know, two decades ago than anybody, I think, ever.
I'm trying to think if anybody has. I don't even know if anybody has been able to ride one album and two group albums.
For 20 years.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't
think. Like, honestly, I know people talk this shit about Prize all the time, though. But to me, Prize is way more relevant than Lauryn Hill. You're talking about on a political landscape. Like, he's got that website he's got popping. He's got a pact for, like, your donational pact where you can come in and try to influence elections.
Prize is doing things. Well, let's be careful. We're talking about influencing elections.
Well, man, influence elections, donations for elections. Well, yeah, damn. You know, so crazy, though. We in this fucking climate that, god damn, man.
Let's
you're
just,
right, though.
Let's just be careful.
But I'm saying, but my whole point is that, yeah, Lauryn, like, come on, man. But this Madden thing, though, man,
it's a tragedy. I mean, you know, for people that don't know, Jacksonville, wasn't it? Yeah, Jacksonville, it was a Madden, you know, Madden tournament. The new Madden game just came out, and somebody lost in the tournament and came back and shot and was shooting in the tournament and killed two people. That's as bad as it gets. It doesn't get any worse than that. That's the definition of something being as unnecessary as it possibly can be. And that's a tragedy of massive proportions. Yeah.
And it wasn't even the dudes he lost to.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that those people should die either, but I mean, like, this is those random dudes playing in the quarterfinals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, but it's an indiscriminate crime.
Yeah.
You know I mean, and it's like, that's just the worst kind of way to be. I mean,
but they said he was a tricky dude in general. I read up on it. They said
he was like
a dude that cheated during online stuff. Like, people accused him of being all kind of person beforehand.
Well, it's another case of mental illness.
Of course, for a white guy.
Of being labeled when it's like, hey, listen, this is a dude that had a gun in his possession that shouldn't have. So, I mean, it walks that line between talking about mental illness.
Keep in mind, he went out to the trunk. He went to pop the trunk. Like, the proverbial pop the trunk, that's what he did. He left out the facility, went to his car, got his gun, and came back in. And he had a beam on it.
You know what? This is why I need to lobby for there always being a real brother on security everywhere.
Because if you go out at the club, they're going to recheck you again.
Well, no, not even that. That can immediately target signs of, oh, no, this ain't right.
He just left and, can't, and he was mad. He just lost. He can't come back in.
You know, he can't come back.
Like, we can't come back in.
We're going to follow him.
Or if you come back in, we got to patch you down. Especially if you lost. It's just a tragedy, man.
Yeah, man, stupid. That's why we need to have more black common sense involved in America. If we have more black common sense involved in things, we'll be able to save people from a whole lot of trouble. Because you know why? Black people get scared about the right things in the right manner.
Always. Always.
We know when something is like, hold on, that ain't right.
The things is looking grim.
Mm-hmm. Let somebody come in and start a terrorist threat in a black club. They're going to be like, Oh,
look,
hell
no. The club in general is going to close down because they never going to get no more patients to come back, period.
Yeah, they're going to shut it down. They're going to be like, you're going to have some of that policing, that street policing done right there.
All right, next up, man, Michael Jackson.
And you'll be taking it from here.
Not singing on the last Sony album. It's called Michael. Not the one that came out that had like the little EP joint that had like a couple of tracks that had popped off. It's the EP Michael. I think Teddy Riley produced some on it, but he thought it was vocal. Teddy Riley thought it was vocals. That was real Michael vocals. Sony got somebody to impersonate him for the whole album.
So essentially, we've seen this happen before. It's called when they revised the Bible and they put in books and words that weren't in the Bible and turned.
No, it's the King James version. That's what
we've
seen.
Yes, it's the King James version of Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been here before, and we've seen what these tragedies can do when you decide to rewrite history.
I'm waiting for Aretha unreleased tracks.
See? Look at that.
You know it's coming.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, Spotify finally dropped all of Prince's albums, finally. The 23 that he recorded for to get out of his contract. They finally put his whole discography on Spotify.
Didn't his estate give it... I thought he gave the rights to Jay-Z, or was it stuff that... He released that Jay-Z could get with Title.
I don't know how that works.
I thought it was something like that. That was going on with that situation. That was their wishes or something like that.
But yeah, so fake Michael Jackson, I mean, come on now. That's better suited for, you know, the people you take pictures with in L.A. out by the Walk of Fame. That's acceptable.
Yeah.
But you can't have an impersonator on an album.
And then sell it as the Mike Posthumous album.
See? Ain't nothing sacred no more.
It's some Jermaine shit. Oh, shit. Mentioning Jermaine.
Oh, shit.
Jermaine Jackson getting married to like a 24-year-old.
He's getting married to somebody that's three. If you took three of her and put them together, they would almost be as old as one Jermaine Jackson.
Very true, because Jermaine has got to be mid-60s, right?
He's 63. He's 63. Something like that. Yeah. 66. He's 66.
66. Okay. Because Mike would be like late 50s now, right? Yeah, he'd be late 50s now if he was still alive.
Probably.
Yeah, because he was the youngest. So yeah, one of the youngest. Yeah, man. Jermaine is a horrible dude, man. Overall, man. Matt sent it to me and it blitzkrieged me and he was like, yeah, we got to talk. I was like, he's a fucked up individual. He's like, but he living his best life or something. You said, hold on, let me go back to the text, the actual text, our text exchange for this Jermaine thing. Then you said, he's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's a shitty dude. You said, laugh my ass off. Yes, definitely that.
I said that just to provoke you.
I know you did, man. You was just trying to fuck with me.
That was just simply to provoke you into what's about to happen now. So go ahead and get to it. I know you've been waiting over a week for this.
Yes, the Jackson family rankings. I'm ranking all the Jacksons.
And citing the evidence for each as well.
Each one. Mike's number one. Number two is Janet Jackson. Now, this is where we get... Generally, people would try to say Jermaine. Spoiler alert, Jermaine is last. All right, next up, I'm in my third slot.
Wait, are you going from best to worst?
Yeah.
Okay, so who's number one?
Michael. Jermaine, then Janet.
Okay.
Michael, then Janet.
Now, why Janet better than Michael?
No, Michael's first. Then
I know,
Janet.
But why is Michael above Janet?
I mean, he's the king of pop, man.
I mean, I know, man, but he very clearly has some kids out there that's being sold like they're his kids, and them are some white people. Those are white people.
Did Michael do what Jermaine did?
He didn't, but...
I mean...
Hey, man, those are white people. That'd be like, if I died, it'd be like, oh, I'll just leave my kids. And it's like a white person is like 4 years younger than me. Like, that's not his kid. That nigga is 30. No, that's my kid. I left everything to him. Y'all figure it out. I'm gone.
Peace out.
I don't know if I can put...
Mike's number one.
Okay, fine. He did make Thriller.
Yeah, all right. Janet is number two. Number three, this is where we get real... I'm going to say dicey. We're not going to get that dicey. I'm going with 3T. The group 3T is next.
Okay.
Then I'm going with Tito. They're
Wait
fine.
A minute, where are the kids?
What kids?
The white kids. The white people that's in that.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm talking about the real. The, like, you have to be like Bloodline Jackson to be in this.
Oh, world. So you're also going on record now and saying that some people ain't really no damn Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, we can.
Oh, okay.
you want the record to show.
I just wanted to make sure we were good. All right, cool. Please continue.
3T, the group 3T, they gave us some great songs in the 90s.
I feel like they should get a bag of rap snacks.
They ain't going to do it, though.
No.
But R&B snacks, if we did R&B snacks, yeah. Tito is next. Now, this is a controversial one because people always try to say Tito didn't do nothing. Tito, go look in the liner notes. Tito did a lot of production. He was a dope-ass guitar player as well. And he just played his role. He was cool with it. He never was on some like, yo, I need to be out front. I'm just playing my role, do what I got to do, and do what it needs to do to keep this Jackson family keeping moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that for a lot of the people in the Jackson family.
No.
Next up. Marlon Jackson.
Hey man, why hasn't Catherine been mentioned?
Yet? I don't put any family. I don't want the matriarch and patriarch.
Joe Jackson better be in this. At the end of this, you're gonna have to rank Joe.
Okay,
Jackson.
Well then, okay, if you want to put them in it, Catherine would be third then.
Right after Catherine.
Right after Janet is Catherine, then 3T, then Tito.
Okay.
Because you want Joe to be in here.
Joe needs to be.
Joe will be in here. Joe is in. I agree with you.
People are going to thank.
You, I agree. With
thank
you.
Me. For that.
I agree with you. Next up is Marlon Jackson. Now, this is one of the people that people probably don't know the least about. But he also is one of the ones that makes the most paper outside of being a Jackson.
He's the Michael Bivens of the Jacksons.
There you go. Now, there you go. That is a perfect example. Yeah. He owns like property. He owns like land over in Ghana. Crazy shit. Like He does the Jackson shit because it's some like shit I want to do for fun with my brothers. He don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
There's another brother he has that's at the last rank and needs the Jackson money as much as possible.
Okay.
Now, next up, Jackie Jackson is next up.
Okay.
Now.
What number are we at now?
We're at around seven. Okay. Six or seven. Seven. We're seven because we added Catherine in. So yes. Seven.
Thank you.
Jackie Jackson wrote a lot of dope stuff in them later on in their career. But he also introduced the world to Paula Abdul, too. People don't know.
That's a huge contribution.
Yes. He's the one, if you ever go back and watch the video Torture, he fired the original choreographer and just said, hey, yeah, she's going to do it. That's my girlfriend. So Paula Abdul, and that's how she blew up. She ended up doing a whole bunch of other stuff after that because of directing that music video for Dancing.
Okay.
All right. But Jackie also suffered closely. Actually, you know what? Jackie's sliding down. Randy's above Jackie. Because what I'm going to say is Jackie suffered also from the I want to be like Mike and I'm better than Mike. How my little brother making his paper and I'm not? Mm-hmm. Central. Because he tried to go solo. He came out like three or four albums.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know none of the songs.
No.
Not at all. No. He also, when he had his opportunity during the Torture video, when Mike and Jermaine didn't show up, he said, don't worry. Oh, the star is here. His name is Jackie Jackson.
I'm like, who?
The director was even like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one that came out with that hat on in the American Dream.
You goddamn right, he did.
And they sent his ass back.
And then he also let Terrence Howard play him in the family movie. That's a lot of bad stuff going on for you, Jackie. Randy's above him. Randy, this was a dude that got caught in the crossfire in a lot of different ways in his life. He was the one that replaced Jermaine when Jermaine left the Jacksons. And then he also was replaced by Jermaine with his woman.
Mm-hmm.
So Jermaine figured out, well, if you replace me in the group, I'm replacing you in your home.
That's a tough beat to take, too.
And we'll talk about Jermaine's insolence momentarily. Next up, after Jackie, is Rebe. Rebe gave us Centipede. Reby also said, fuck it, I ain't doing shit no more myself, and I'm gonna be a mother and a wife and just hang out with my kids and do regular people shit. So she fell back, so she didn't contribute as much to the culture. That's why she's ranking farther down. Okay. Randy also came out of a group earlier, a group called the Gypsies, that had a nice little run, little jazz R&B group that has some stuff, if you look it up online, good music, good stuff. And he wrote a lot of stuff on the Jackson's reunion, the 2300 Jackson Street album. He wrote a lot of that on there.
Okay.
So shout out to Randy. Next up is Bubbles. Bubbles Jackson is next. Bubbles Jackson was a confidant to number one. End of story. Next up, next up is the llama that used to be at Michael Jackson's house.
Oh, God.
Shout out to the llama. Next up is LaToya Jackson. She threw her brother up under the bus for some years and years and years and let that white man named Manaldo run through all that little Jackson money she had. Had her pledging and, posing in Playboy.
Pledging.
Right, she's online for him, posing in Playboy. And then when he, then it was when, yes, she went through a lot. I'm not taking her idea of where her going through abuse with Manaldo, I think his name, whatever.
That's a hell of a name. That's the name. You know what? That's the name of somebody you don't start messing with in the first place. Manaldo.
Yeah, that just sounds like a dude that would just have you in a fucked up situation.
Yeah, he gonna have you standing. He gonna have you looking like that chick in the Orange Juice Jones video.
Yeah, she was disowned by the Jacksons for at least part of the 90s. Mm-hmm. At least damn near 10 years of the 90s. She redeemed herself and came back before Mike died, protecting him. So that's why it keeps her from being in this bottom rung area of the Jackson family bracket. I mean, yeah. Not bracket, the Jackson family rankings. Next up is Joe Jackson. Joe is the reason they all are here, but he's also a reason that a lot of them are fucked up too.
What's Joe Jackson has arguably one of the most complicated legacies in America.
Very much so complicated. We don't know where to pose him at. We don't know if he's closer to what would be like a, you know, David Ruffin beating up on Tammy Terrell or Tiger Woods daddy. Just where he pushed our Serena and Venus's dad.
Yeah,
when it is pushed extra hard, you know what I'm saying?
Every obsessed father since has taken a page from the Joe Jackson book.
Maybe not all the pages though. Everybody said, like, you know what, I don't want to do page 45. Kicking my kids down the steps and stuff though. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, Matthew Knowles did not take that page. As best we understand, he didn't take that page.
Last up is the most deplorable member of the Jackson family. I try to look at pet names for other animals.
Phil Jackson.
He did say that his posse, that kind of Phil kind of left out of us. Randy Jackson, the other Randy Jackson that was on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
He's above Jermaine Jackson. Reggie Jackson is above Jermaine Jackson.
Mr. October.
Freddie Jackson is above Jermaine Jackson.
Reggie Jackson from the Detroit Pistons.
This is above Jermaine Jackson. Any Jackson you can name. Terrell Jackson. There's got to be one in the nation.
Andrew Jackson, the former president of the United States.
No, I can't go that far. You going to try to see how far I was going to put Jermaine down?
I just wanted to see
the hate went. No, I ain't going
to
do that.
If you agreed to that one, we was going to have a talk.
Yeah, no. I ain't going to do that to Jermaine now. I disdain him. Jermaine Jackson, the wanting to be Mike so bad guy, you are last. Now he's getting married. He took his brother's girlfriend, had two kids with her, married her. So now there's four kids that are Jacksons that are brothers and cousins at the same time. And that's because of Jermaine Jackson. He also was just would beg for money from people. Allegedly, he would always be showing up people's cribs saying, you know, why don't you jump on my songs? Allegedly, he would just show up like, Mike, why don't you show up? Then he would be mad at him and be like, yeah, that's why he ain't really that as good as me, because Mike don't play no instruments. That was his whole thing, that Mike don't play no instruments, so that's why he's not as good as him. He's like, well, I played the guitar too though. Mike didn't play no music, he just sang. Jermaine Jackson did have a couple of good tracks. I'm not going to take that away from him. Don't Take It Personal, which is a great breakup track for any person. that wants to go through a breakup.
Nobody also, really wants to go through a breakup.
Not at all. But if you got to break up with somebody, that's a great song. Oh. Let's Get Serious. So Jermaine has something, but he doesn't have a legacy of anybody else in his family like this. And his way he moves is just horrible, man. Like, it's just bad, man. Just look at him, man. Look at his... He also sold, like, his soul is something to get that hair like that, where it's just a implant of hair on his head. He sold a child or something. I think he has more children. He sold one of them for his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's marrying a 24-year-old. Now, that's not the real Travis. If you're talking about, Jackie did the same thing too, though, and just had twins, like, I think 2 years ago. And Jackie's older than Jermaine. And Jackie had, I think, twins with a 26-year-old woman. I just want to climb Jermaine at any time and any turn as possible.
I'm aware.
Shout out to Jermaine Jackson. You are the worst Jackson in the ranking of the Jacksons. There's some other Jacksons I probably forgot that I can't remember offhand. But I am pretty big on the Jackson family, and that is my rankings for the top Jacksons, man. I felt like that was like the end of it, like the coffee side chat though, where like this like would
like. I feel like Masterpiece Theater just ended.
Yeah. Fireside chat. I'm thinking like the end of Fireside.
Do you feel
chat.
Better?
Yeah, man. I've been waiting to get that out. I had wrote these out and everything, man.
Jermaine, you are the worst Jackson. Okay.
It's Labor Day, man.
It is. It's about to be Labor Day. Labor Day is one of those holidays that you just kind of look at it and you're like, all right. Well, let's get it in. You know, there's going to be some white parties.
Yep, that's because that's where the white party came from.
Yes, the white party was founded in this.
Mm-hmm.
So does this make Labor Day the official holiday of Puff Daddy?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
He's the one that came up with I'm sure there's other people that did white parties, but he did it on a level where it became like a national thing to do white parties.
Right. So
you got to give Puffy credit.
So it's National Puff Daddy Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
National Puff Daddy Day, man. It's also a holiday. It's got to be the worst ranking holiday of the day off holidays.
Worst?
Of day off holidays. Where you kind of like, cool, I'm off.
I think 4th of July on a Wednesday is the worst one I've ever been to.
But people are planning a whole vacation around it, 4th of July, though.
Yeah.
People are planning like, oh, I'm just going to Chicago real quick. I don't think many people are planning like, yo, I'm going to Cali.
For
Labor Day. I don't hear about that.
Shouldn't Labor Day be on a Friday? Yes. Wouldn't people want a Friday off as opposed to
take it off. I'm taking off Friday unofficially.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. I'm saying I'm working home, but I'm not gonna do that.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean that's what everybody else is doing.
You'll be voting in the brackets.
That's right. Tell me about it.
You'll be voting in the bracket. So I know, okay, so it was brought to my attention that the greatest black TV show bracket was due last week. And it was. And as I did throughout my school career, I did not get my homework done in time. Due to the fact that I also have another career that requires me to basically write homework for the rest of my life. So that took precedence over me getting the brackets out. But the brackets are getting completed tonight, and the brackets will be out for tomorrow. So you can vote on those. You can discuss them in depth at your Labor Day white party retreats.
Go to bracketfy.com and it's going to be the, what is the name? But if you want to look it up in Bracketfy. And we'll have a link too.
Yeah.
In the show notes. But if you just look, if you don't see it anywhere, just look up the greatest black shows of all time.
Yeah, the dopest. It should be the dopest black shows of all time.
Yeah, that's how I canon things, the dopest.
Yeah.
So the dopest black shows of all time. And just put that in the search bar. And Bracketfy is dope like that. Y'all know from us doing the greatest Jerry Curl of all time,
mm-hmm.
as well as the dopest black woman of all time. And we got a shout out to our listener, man. I want to give him a shout out before we get out of here, man. Who gave up with we're not going to release what the topic he gave us, but it was dope.
Yeah, the possibilities for this one are endless.
Yeah, this one is one we want to really dig in the crates for this one though.
I've got where I want to start at already.
Oh no, I got switched, but I mean to really fill it out, to give it that love. D Love Sammy, man, XL, man. Shout out to you, my brother, man, for that. But make sure you email us, straightolc@gmail.com, all that good stuff. And any other parting words? Straight up Trail Lowcast on the Facebook fan page. Man, we've been getting a lot more people liking the page, man. Straight OLC on Twitter as well.
Yeah, man, let's get it, man. Stay listening, stay locked in. We got another one coming next week. And yo, we're getting
Quan
closer
is coming.
Closer
to this Quan situation. We lock down, lock it down.
Quan Mills is almost.
We gotta lock it down. It's gotta make it be right. So we will see y'all soon. Thank y'all for listening as always. Peace out.